Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on the Game Nashville app all around the world. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesaling Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. And we're not going to forget this week because, Ryan, what day is it?
Hump Day.
There you go. We remember.
Hump Day.
Yeah, that's right. Hump Day. We got called out, you know, last week for because we forgot 2 weeks in a row.
We did not forget this week.
We did not. But welcome in. A lot to get into, so let's do it. MLS making an announcement today. Nashville SC, a part of that announcement. They're going to move to the Eastern Conference for the remainder of the 2020 MLS season and be a part of the MLS's return, MLS's back tournament, which will start July 8th in Orlando. Now, there's going to be a draw on tomorrow that will determine opponents and all of that stuff, but this is very, very cool in MLS as they get ready to return to play. Their commissioner, Don Garber, appeared on Golic and Wingo this morning and explained how the format will work.
You know, if you guys remember the World Cup back in 94, there was a 24-team World Cup, and obviously it's gotten a lot bigger. But that format would be, our format's identical, 54 games. All 26 of our teams will be down there. They'll be staying in the Swan and Dolphin Hotels, which is on the Disney property. They'll be playing their games on the soccer fields at the ESPN Wide World of Sports. We'll start with group matches, no different than a World Cup tournament. Each club will play three of them. They'll count to the regular season. Those winners go into a round of 16 and then a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. And we'll have prize money up to $1 million for our clubs that go through the round. So they'll be playing for some money, as well as what we call a Champions League spot in a regional tournament that FIFA runs here in this region. So a very meaningful tournament. And then hopefully when this is tournament is over in mid-August, our clubs will be able to get back into their markets. And to the extent that we're permitted by local authorities, we can get back into our stadiums and play.
Well, I love that last part from Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, that the hope is after this tournament is done, they want to be able to resume the season in market. And so that means Nashville SC would come back here and be able to play some games at Nissan Stadium. But they would be in the Eastern Conference. So that's kind of neat. They've played two games in their entire history in the Western Conference, and now they're changing conferences because of all this. But whatever works. So I think this is a cool format. It's a good way to get going. I always associate tournaments with soccer. And as you're trying to grow your sport, and especially in this market, as you're trying to grow the brand and get people that aren't on board yet with Nashville SC, I think watching a tournament like this, it's a made-for-television event, that's going to be a good deal.
And you associate tournaments with soccer because of?
I guess the World Cup, yeah.
The World Cup, and yeah. This is going to feel like the World Cup. Like right. Don Garber explained with Golic and Wingo earlier this morning. I love this. I think this is going to be great for Major League Soccer because they're going to be playing this tournament really before any of the major sports return.
Yeah.
Who knows when baseball is ever going to get their head out of their rear end, and we're going to get to that here
we'll yell at them in just a few minutes.
Yes. We know the NHL won't start training camps before this tournament starts, and the NBA has their tentative date of July 31st to return, but they wouldn't even be in the playoffs at that point. So I think this is potentially a big win for Major League Soccer. The matches would initially be essentially triple headers throughout the day. Locally, they would be at 8 a.m., 7 p.m., and 9:30 p.m. So one in the morning, and then a doubleheader at night, essentially, down there in Orlando. So,
and that gives teams time to practice during the day, and you know, opens up the field. So I think that's good.
And I'm really curious to see how the draw goes for Nashville SC tomorrow at 2:30 when that happens. That will probably feel like a little bit like a World Cup draw.
Yeah.
When they're doing that months in advance, but this is, you know, a month in advance. So I don't know how I feel about the group matches counting towards regular season standings. Don't know how I feel about that, but anyway, I think this tournament this MLS's back tournament could end up being a major success for that league, because that league has needed help. I think it has had some momentum going their way, especially in this market with Nashville SC, rising to MLS status and having a World Cup-like format. I think a lot of people are going to be drawn into that.
I think a huge positive for this, at least for somebody like me, that I'm learning the sport. I know about one team, and that's the one here. This is an opportunity to learn about MLS, to learn the opponents. So you watch your team's matchup, but the way the tournament is formatted, I think it's a really good opportunity to get to know the other teams. So that's awesome for the league that you can try and as you were saying, that they'd be, one of the first major or the first major sport back, they can grow their fan base. It's like NASCAR has been doing for the last 3 weeks. It's like UFC's been doing since all this began, that they're the only game in town, and so they're getting new eyeballs on them. So this is another good opportunity for Major League Soccer. Don Garber also addressed player safety and how they would handle that.
This is where all the work was done. You have people, and you guys will get a kick out of this, you have people in our league that, we have a chief medical officer, most of them were not specialists in infectious diseases and not dealing with the Dr. Fauci's of the world and others who have to advise leagues now on what they need to do to go through testing protocols, both for these return to play plans, but also when we get back into our market. So it's very specific. Players and staff get tested before they leave for Orlando. They will get tested regularly when they're down there. Staff and players will be tested throughout the tournament. If a player tests positive, then that player is taken out of the bubble, if you will, and is removed from the tournament. They'll go into quarantine. Those around them through contact tracing will be tested regularly, and whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic. And that's kind of going to be the world that we're going to be living in for quite some time. So very significant, lots of sanitary activities that will take place with those that are going to be managing operations. There'll be people will be required to wear masks and protective gear when they're in and around the environment. But hey guys, they're going to be down there for, 45, 50 days. And as part of that, they'll have activities. They'll be able to use pools. They'll be able to use restaurants. There won't be any Disney guests in the Swan and Dolphin. There'll be no fans in attendance. So we're going to have this whole tournament locked down pretty tight to ensure that these players and then the staff around them will be safe and healthy.
MLS Commissioner Don Garber on Golic and Wingo earlier this morning. He took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, they have this thing on lockdown. Well, that's exactly what they're going to be doing and what they have to do. This is going to be the norm with our sports returning. So I like the plan. I like that we're going to have a draw for a tournament, and it's going to be fun to watch Nashville SC in the Eastern Conference for the remainder of the 2020 season.
And the East is probably where they belonged the entire time. So good to see them move into the Eastern Conference officially. And, another thought that came to mind is for the sport of soccer, I think for a lot of people, the World Cup has been an entry point for them to be interested in the sport of soccer. And then they end up liking the Bundesliga or the Premier League, whatever league that they end up having their favorite team in. I kind of feel like the World Cup is that entry point for a lot of people in soccer, and maybe a World Cup-like format for the MLS will be an entry point for people into MLS soccer. Because if you get hooked in this tournament, I would say that maybe not everybody's going to carry over into the regular season when that resumes in home stadiums, but I think there would be a pretty good portion of people that would then carry over their interest beyond just this MLS's back tournament.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Bundesliga, but that's for other reasons. Premier League's good. I like the Premier League. But I think with me, when I watched the World Cup, I didn't have anywhere to go after the World Cup, and now I do. And so this is going to be different because Nashville SC is here. I can learn more about the league in which they play. So I think this could be a very, very, very good thing. All right, now we have positive, and now let's go to negative. Major League Baseball. Once again, we know that the owners, they gave a proposal, 76 games, yada, yada, yada. The players, they scoffed at it. Well, now supposedly they have their counter Now, it does feel like they're getting a little closer, but until it actually happens, I'm not going to believe it. Jeff Passan of ESPN put this out last night that the Players Association has made a proposal to MLB a season of 89 games with a full prorated share of salary and expanded playoffs, sources familiar with ESPN told them on Tuesday. But so where is this going now? I know you have strong feelings about this.
Well, I mean, just tell me when there's a deal. I'm sick and tired of the owners coming with a proposal that is not going to be agreed upon. I'm tired of the players coming up with a proposal that's not going to be agreed upon. I know this is natural negotiation, but there doesn't feel like they're at the biggest issue at hand is money, and there has been really no give and take on the money aspect. So until you figure it out, baseball, just stop going to Jeff Passan or Bob Nightingale or Buster Olney or Jason Stark or whatever baseball insider is getting all this info. Stop going to them. Figure it out. Come to us when you have an agreement. I'm sick of it. Get your head out of your rear end, figure it out, and return to the diamond.
That's right. I'm with you on this, Ryan.
I am sick and tired of sitting here every morning between the two of us saying, oh, well, you know, here's this proposal from the owners. Oh, here's this proposal from the players. Oh, what does this mean for baseball? Get your head out of your rear end, figure it out, and return to the diamond and save the 2020 season. I'm sick of it.
Amen to that, my friend. Ryan Porth, ladies and gentlemen, fired up and mad at baseball and the players, and he should be. I totally get it, and I totally agree. So, yeah, I'm with you. I saw that. I read through the proposal. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care because nobody's going to agree on this because they didn't come up with it. So just let me know when you're going to play again, and then
exactly.
I might pay attention.
Exactly. The Green Day song is Wake Me Up When September Ends. The MLB – or I guess I could say the Ryan Porth song is Wake Me Up When This Negotiation's Over, because I'm sick and tired of hearing whatever new proposal there is. I'm sick of it. I'm over it. Get it figured out.
Another piece of positive news. We have a sandwich here. We'll put the negative there in the middle. NASCAR announced yesterday plans that will implement limited numbers of guests returning to the racetrack starting this weekend at the Homestead Miami Speedway. They're going to have 1,000 members of the military that will be allowed to attend. And then the following weekend at the Talladega Super Speedway, they're going to allow up to 5,000 guests in the front stretch, grandstand / towers for the Geico 500. In addition, there will be limited motorhome / fifth wheel camping spots available outside the track high atop the Alabama Gang Super Stretch, which the back stretch. Tickets are open exclusively on first come and first served basis to fans who purchase tickets or reserve camping for the originally scheduled Geico 500. So they're letting some people back at the racetrack starting this weekend. So that should be interesting to see. I think other sports are going to be watching and paying attention and making phone calls of how that process went.
Well, I do respect NASCAR for being, I guess you could say, a little bit of a trailblazer in all this return to sports discussion. They were really the first ones in a league-type setting, more so than maybe the UFC, to come back there in mid-May, and they've done it successfully. They have acquired more eyeballs on their sport, and now having more eyeballs at the track may be, you know, maybe a template for how teams or leagues down the road can welcome fans back into their stadiums or arenas.
Yep, absolutely. So I think this is very good news for the sport and for sports in general. So good to hear that. Nick Bonino going to join us at the bottom of the hour. It'll be good to catch up with him. He's a part of something pretty cool coming up later on, but also talk about return to play. But there's another event happening tonight, and the question is, are we going to watch? We'll tell you what that is when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to donate to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee to support their mission of feeding hungry people, as well as other ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. Welcome back into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here with you. And I know the theme, but Marquise, you win this one. That was good. Very well done.
Well, that wasn't mine. That was an assist from someone else.
But yeah. I know who it was. I didn't have anything for it. So that was good. Ryan, this goes over your head, I know. But it's a fun little
way
game
over my head
in which we play every day. So very, very well done. The MLB draft coming up tonight. And the question is, are you going to watch? Are you going to pay attention? It's a different format because of everything going on. And also, I think there's a sour taste with baseball because of everything going on and the negotiations that they have. So are you, Ryan, going to pay attention and watch the MLB draft tonight?
Not like I usually do. And to be honest, it's that sour taste that you bring up about everything going on with the sport. You know, obviously there's local ties. Austin Martin from Vanderbilt, he's expected to go in the top two or three picks, so that will be a great moment for him and Vandy baseball. Robert Hassel is a Vandy signee, also played ball at Independence High School. He's expected to go in the top 10 or 15. So some great local ties.
Bryce Jarvis?
Yes. So some great local ties for this MLB draft, but to be honest, not that I wake up on MLB draft morning and I'm like super stoked for the MLB draft, because all these kids that are getting drafted are 3, 4, 5 years away from being in the majors.
Bingo. That's what it is for me. And I can say that now I'm more invested in the NHL draft because of the Predators and, you know, what we do and covering them. But it's more along the lines of, I want to see what trades happen and all of that. But I know, especially with the, you know, unless you're the first 3 or 4 picks in the NHL, you're not going to see those players for a while either. So if I don't like the NFL draft, I know I'm going to see them next year, because
right. There
is no minor league. I mean, the NBA draft, it's pretty much the same thing. I know you've got the G League and all that, but the NBA draft, it's okay, you know you're going to see them.
Especially in the first round of the NBA draft.
Right. Baseball, no, you don't. And so I rarely, like, I keep up with it because I want to see what the local kids are going to do, and especially what Tim Corbin has put together at Vanderbilt. But other than that, I don't really, it's not that I don't care, just it's not top of mind, and because I know it's just not going to matter for a while. I'll look and see what the Braves do and read up on the prospects, but, you know, there's a race tonight. I'm going to watch that. I'm not going to sit and watch every pick like, oh, hey, that guy, I remember him. I don't, because I'm not as, number one, I'm not as in tune with the rest of college baseball as I am with Vanderbilt and what's happening here locally, MTSU or Belmont. But so that's kind of how I feel about it. But yeah, the sour taste too doesn't help. Doesn't help the situation.
Sure. Like, usually I'll watch the MLB draft, maybe the first 10 to 15 picks, just to see who the top prospects are, and then
watch
the breakdowns.
Well, the Reds are usually picking around there too. So.
You didn't really have to bring that up, but that is a factor in watching the first 10 or 15 picks most years. But, like, I don't even feel like watching that with the sour taste in our mouths over the sport of baseball right now. So, you know, best of luck to everyone locally and every kid out there who is expected or hoping to be drafted in the 5-round draft over the next couple of days. But I'm like you. I'll look at what the Reds do, and hopefully those players in the next 5 years can make it to the big leagues. But I just don't feel all that interested tonight. I just don't.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. One positive on it is that, you know, and this is something Tim Corbin has fought for years and has been very outspoken about. You know, usually they're in postseason in college baseball and they're playing games, and, you know, these kids are finding out they're being drafted and where they're being drafted and all of that. Well, at least tonight they can enjoy the moment.
Sure.
So they can, you know, they can live the moment and not have to, you know, have their attention multiple places. I can't imagine playing a meaningful postseason game knowing that you're about to get a phone call that could potentially change your life. I remember Dansby Swanson, you know, going first overall, and they were playing a game.
Yeah, I actually think it had just wrapped up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Corbs was doing an interview when, and then you see them all jumping up and down, and it's like, oh, I guess he just got drafted.
Yeah, it was almost like they were watching it on a phone, still on the field after they. I think they were playing Illinois in the Super Regional, and they had won that game, and then they all huddled around a phone and watched Dansby get picked first overall, which is not. We've been saying for years that the Major League Baseball draft should be held on a different night of the week so that those occasions don't happen.
Yeah, I hope they do change that, and maybe this will force them to. But so that later on tonight, and of course we will pay attention to, you know, local products and what happens with them. But I think we kind of share the same feelings when it comes to the MLB draft. Nick Bonino going to join us here in just a few minutes to talk some hockey with him. But speaking of drafts, Nashville, we all remember what happened in our city last year with the NFL draft and how much of a party it was, even though some of it is a blur to me because that was a very long day, as you know, Ryan.
It was a very long 3 days.
3 days, yeah. If they all ran together. But Nashville, once again, wants to host the NFL draft, and they're throwing their name in the hat for either 2024 or 2025. This coming from WSMV, quote, "We have only submitted an expression of interest. That is a preliminary and necessary step if we want to bid in the future. And, of course, we want the option. Plenty of time to decide if and when." That coming from Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation President and CEO Butch Spearden. That was a part of a statement that he released. So it's a very early stages, starting the groundwork. But I find it interesting that a year later, Nashville already throwing their name back in the hat. And quite frankly, Ryan, I think if they truly pursue this, they're probably going to get it.
Well, and here's a Spearden quote from TitansOnline.com where I first saw this, which Spearden was quoted saying, "I'd be more surprised if they don't give us a future date than I would be if we get one."
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was so successful. And all these leagues want to be associated in some fashion with this city, not just with a team. That's separate. That's different. But have a league event. I mean, how many times have you seen baseball bring the winter meetings here? I mean, it happens. It's probably once every 3 to 5 years.
Maybe 5 to 7 years.
Okay, maybe.
But it's in the rotation.
It's in the rotation. So I would say here soon it's probably coming back. The All-Star game at the NHL was here. I would say the NHL draft probably comes back here sooner rather than later because of that league's association with this city. We saw the success of the NFL draft. Now you have MLS in the fray with Nashville SC. NASCAR has made their announcement that they're coming back to our city. So and they're going to bring the banquet back, which Butch Spearden told us last week. So that's another one. All these associations and leagues want to be in Nashville. I think the NFL, even though they're trying to, you know, I've noticed a trend that with a few exceptions, they're trying to take the draft to cities that probably aren't going to get the Super Bowl. Now, Vegas, they're going to get a Super Bowl eventually. They've been to Dallas. They're like I said, there are a few exceptions to that rule, but we all know that it would be difficult to host the Super Bowl here in Nashville. Why not bring the draft, have it in a rotation every few years? I think it would be big for the league and the city.
It absolutely would. I mean, the economic impact of the draft being in Nashville was astronomical. I mean, the economic impact for Nashville was $224 million.
Yeah, that's a nice chunk of change.
That is amazing. And the direct spending in Nashville that entire weekend was $133 million in the city of Nashville. So that would be another monster win for sports in Nashville if the draft came back, and it would be very interesting to see how the city would try to do it bigger and better the next time, because you don't want to get the same event and just do the same thing all over again. You want to make it bigger and better so that they keep coming back.
Yeah, so definitely a situation to watch. Hopefully a little more comes from that as Nashville continues to try and add events. The NFL draft was so much fun last year in our city. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nick Bonino. He's part of something fun And plus, we'll talk about the return-to-play plan with the NHL. We'll do that next on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McKay, Brian Porth, Marquise Munson back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to say hello to one of our favorites. Always enjoy our conversations with Nick Bonino, Predators 4. Nick, it's been a while, but it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Hope you guys are all doing well.
Yeah, we're definitely hanging in there, ready to talk about some sports and some hockey here very, very soon. But something that you're a part of that is debuting later on today, Skates and Plates. We know that we've learned about you over the years that you do like to cook, but this is going to be a cool show that the NHL has put together, part of some creativity that we have to do during these times. But you're on the first episode. This is going to be a lot of fun, debuting later on today at 3 o'clock on NBC Sports Network and Sportsnet in Canada.
Yeah, they Kevin Wilson got in touch with me, said there's something that kind of would be right up your alley, and I thought it was going to be a lot of fun. I got to work with Chef Ludo, who if you watch today, you'll see he's a really energetic, charismatic person, really great guy. And from France, he has some restaurants in Los Angeles that are amazing, Michelin starred restaurants. So it was really, really an honor to cook with him and try not to screw it up too bad, learn from him, and we had a good time.
Well, when we found out about this and saw that you were going to be a part of it, I mean, it makes sense because you are very creative, and we've seen that during your time here with the Nashville Predators. But when did cooking kind of become a hobby for you?
What's funny? It started in Anaheim. We had just kind of gotten our first place. We were renting in Newport Beach, my wife and I, my fiance or girlfriend at the time, Lauren, and we loved the show Chopped. We loved watching it on Food Network, and we would do them in the in our place, in our rental there. Lauren would go get random ingredients, and just I would try to cook with them, and I loved the show. So it was definitely a lot tougher than it looked on the show. So I started that way, and whenever I'm home, I try to cook as much as I can. Lauren takes care of the kids, obviously, when I'm on the road. So when I'm home, I like to give her a break, and for me, it's a lot of fun to cook.
Nick Bonino is with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick, do you happen to remember the first meal that you would have cooked?
I wish I could. I grew up really lucky. My parents, aunt and uncle, grandparents were always feeding us great food, from an Italian background, eating a lot of Italian food. So I don't remember the first one I cooked. I'm sure it was simple. Well, actually, I do have an answer for that. When I lived in Boston over the summers when I lived with Kevin Shattenkirk, we'd come back after the first summer we signed, and it was kind of our first time not in, during the school year when we have a dining hall. This was the summer, so we rented a place and we had to cook for ourselves. And Shaddy always laughs at me, but I eat a lot of food and I burn it off quick. So my meal there, I would do 2 boil and bag rices, 2 chicken breasts, and I would shred cheese over it, douse it in honey mustard. And those were my summer meals back then. So I distinctly remember cooking those, and haven't had that in a while, but just saying it now makes me hungry for it. Those are pretty delicious.
Skates and Plates coming up today, 3 o'clock Central Time on NBC Sports Network. Nick Bonino, Nashville Predators forward, hanging out with us. So besides cooking for the family, I know that you've had to stay focused, and this has been a difficult time. There at least is a plan. We don't know dates necessarily, but how have you been able to stay in shape and stay sharp for whenever the season resumes?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd time. We do have time off with the family in the summers, but even then, when you're coming back, you have dates in mind. So, you're coming to Nashville, or you're coming back to your city probably end of August. So you have plans, you're going to the rink, you're working out. And here it's kind of been in limbo. So been riding the bike a lot, borrowed a rowing machine from the rink, was doing that. And I feel really good. So obviously phase 2 is starting up. We'll see how that progresses here in Nashville as we enter, the middle of June and beyond. But just trying to stay in shape, working out every day. I know a lot of our team is. I think, regardless of what we have at our disposal for equipment, all of us are doing what we can to stay in shape to the best of our ability. So that's a good sign.
Nick, have you become an expert on Zoom through this process?
Just sign on. Yeah, it's frustrating though. I get a lot of my, there's got to be a way around this, but I get a lot of my, all my alerts on my phone, and then I want to do it on my iPad, and I end up having to type in the Zoom number and then the password, which is usually like 30 or 40 digits long, uppercase, lowercase. So that's the one headache for me. I got to make sure I'm there like 3 minutes early, typing it in, and then I'm on the iPad. So that's the only thing. I'm sure there's such an easy way around that, but for now, just doing it that way. And it's been it's been good to be able to connect with people. Obviously, you know, you'd love that face to face, but that's the next best thing. So Zoom's been pretty key.
Nick, when and if the league is able to return later this summer, it will technically go down as the 2019-20 season. But to you, is it even going to feel like the same season when you get back on the ice?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about it like that. I think, it will be in terms of the same team. I think it's definitely going to be different having, you know, fully rested teams for the playoffs if it gets to that point. So it's obviously 2020s. You've seen a lot of, in the sports world, it's something you've never seen before. So we are going to take it as it comes. But, yeah, it will be. It'll be interesting to think that this was the same team that, you know, started with Peter Laviolette however many months ago. And now, you know, here we are coming into a playoff series, a best of five with Arizona. You know, if you heard that even 4 months ago, you wouldn't have believed it. So it's definitely interesting, but hopefully we'll be ready for it.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, the process from Peter Laviolette to John Hines as head coach. There were obviously many ups and downs of the regular season before the season pause. Do you feel like, you know, this period of time has been good for the team to maybe just hit the reset button, and then when you come back, you get some practices and a kind of a training camp experience with your new head coach?
Yeah, I hope it'll benefit us. I think, you know, the one thing is, and I can tell you probably every team has said this, but we did feel like we were turning the corner and playing a lot better before the pause happened. So I think this is a good thing. I know coach has been able to connect with pretty much everyone on the team more than once for every guy and talk to them and kind of get their thoughts. It was funny, you know, he came over and he asked me some of my thoughts about the year, and I couldn't really remember some of them. It was just a different time. So I'm sure when we get back, it'll be as close to a fresh start as you can get. Everyone, you know, in that playoff, in that best of five round, everyone's on even footing, and we'll just try to get prepared as well as we can.
Have you allowed yourself to think about what it would be like to play playoff hockey without fans in the stands?
Yeah, I haven't thought much about that either. I think we talked about it the other day, my wife and I, but it's definitely going to be something different. I know when we were in Montreal, there were rumblings that, you know, we were headed to Columbus at the end of that week before the pause, and they in Ohio had said no fans. So we were kind of not excited, but eager to get a glimpse of what that would be. It was, you know, one of the first games that would have had that. And then obviously the season paused. So it's something that's been in the back of our minds, but I don't know if you'll truly understand what that's like, until you do it.
Nick Bonino is with us. And obviously during this pause, you know, we do a lot of reading. We still have to do 4 hours a day or 5 hours in my case. And so there's a lot to discuss. And I don't know how much you keep up with, you know, articles that are written about your team or the league. But one thing that I thought was interesting is Ryan Johansson did an interview with Joe Rexroad from The Athletic and took some ownership of just this wasn't a great season for him. And how he wants to get back, and he wants to prove to his teammates and to everyone else that, you know, I mean, he does belong. You're one of the leaders on this team. When you hear one of your teammates that may have struggled take that kind of ownership, how do you react to that?
I think it's, as a team, you want accountability up and down the lineup individually and as a team. So I didn't read that article. I'm sure, you know, Joey's an honest guy. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and, you know, no one in our room, you know, doubted how hard he was working. You know, sometimes the puck goes in, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you make the right play and the guy you pass it to didn't put it in. So I don't think, you know, any of us were really worried about Joey. We know how dominant a player he can be. And he definitely has the right attitude. I know that's great for him to come out and say that. But yeah, I hadn't read that, but you know, knowing Joey, he's always sincere. And if I know him, I know he'd come out of this quarantine ready to go.
As we wrap this up, of course, during this time, a lot of classic games have been shown, and one thing Fox Sports Tennessee has done is they showed the playoff run that the Predators had in 2017. Now, you were on the other side with Pittsburgh, ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year, but I know that was a tough series for you. You had the injury, but what was that series overall like, facing the Predators and then just a few months later signing with them?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Especially coming to a team after you'd beaten them in the final, I was kind of nervous, you know, because there was a lot of emotions in that, and I couldn't have been, you know, more pleased with how great the guys were, how accepting they were. A little bit of teasing, but that's something I never really joke about with them, just because it's something that is, you know, close to your heart. So these guys were so close, and it was such a great series. They had such a great run that it's something that I'd really love to get back to with them. I thought that next year, my first year here, you know, losing to Winnipeg in seven games were, you know, so close. It's the 1-2 teams in the league going at it, and we lose in game seven. Who knows if we'd have won that one. So we've got such a good group of guys here. I'm very happy that they were so accepting of me when I came, and have some great friendships now.
Nick, it's good to talk to you. We appreciate it. I hope we get to see you very soon. I'll be at 6 feet apart, but it'll be good to see you guys back on the ice whenever that day comes, and we'll be watching Skates and Plates later on today on NBC Sports Network. You and the family stay safe.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick Bonino, Nashville Predators forward. Appreciate him taking the time to join us. We'll do a little bit more of a breakdown of that playoff format that the NHL is going to have when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by and eat with us, game partner, to eat, dine in, or carry out, and get a sticker from the restaurant and add it to your card. Take a picture and post it on Twitter using the hashtag #EatWithUs and tag us at 102.5 The Game, the Preds at PredsNHL, and the restaurant itself. Secure 8 stickers, receive a Preds prize pack. Secure all 16 stickers and receive a Preds player autographed puck. To see participating restaurants and to print out the card, visit thegamenashville.com. We're back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase Ryan Marquise. I appreciate Nick Bonino for joining us. It was good to catch up with him. He is one of those guys that I enjoy talking to because he's always very honest, and I appreciate that. But with the NHL's potential return, we, again, don't know dates. I feel like that has to happen and will happen soon. But we don't know exact dates. They have just entered phase two of the return to play plan. But the Athletic did a breakdown using coaches, executives, and scouts about this play-in tournament that is going to be a part of things. And so, of course, we wanted to see what they had to say about the Predators matchup as a 6 seed taking on the 11 seed Arizona Coyotes. And as they say in the blurb here, for the most part, the favorite got the heavy action in these predictions. But if you're looking for an upset pick, the Coyotes had real support. The coach went with Coyotes. The executive went with the Preds. The scout went with the Coyotes. The advancing team, the Arizona Coyotes. Ryan, what do you think?
Well, I'm not necessarily surprised, because I don't think we would be surprised by any result coming out of this best of five qualifying round in the NHL, where, yes, it does sound like that these teams are going to have maybe a couple exhibition games to knock off the rust. But even then, not every team is going to be in sync when that best of five starts. So it's really the teams who can start the quickest are going to have the biggest advantage in those qualifying series. And it was interesting to read some of the quotes, the anonymous quotes within the Athletic's breakdown of Preds versus Coyotes, where the scout says Arizona has been a consistently hardworking team that will pay off in this series, especially because I don't think Nashville is a very hardworking team right now. I think center ice is a big problem there. That was the quote from the scout that they talked to about this series. So,
and I feel like that's really directed at Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson.
I think specifically Ryan Johansson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Duchene was starting to come on a little bit. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, and that goes back to the question I asked Nick Bonino and the article that Joe Rexroad did about a month or so ago in The Athletic. And if Ryan Johansson, if the guy that was talking in that article and the guy that did the interview with Darren for Game 6 Remastered, if that guy comes back, then Arizona better watch out. Because that is a determined and focused Ryan Johansson. And I feel like that he is going to be that guy. I feel like this break benefited him probably more than anybody on that team. So I think that could be very good. Now, I read this, and I heard what you just said. I don't really know how much you're going to be able to predict, because this is a reset. I mean, because of players like Johansson, I think Pecorine is going to be a factor. You know, we're going to have the debate. Everybody, we're going to debate until they actually drop the puck. Who's going to be in net, UC Saros or Pecorine? I feel like Pecorine is going to be just as focused and determined, just like Ryan Johansson. Mm-hmm. So I think that benefits. Now, with all that said, you could look at Arizona. They're an 11 seed. I mean, this is the little engine that could. Taylor Hall's had time to process since being traded there. It could be an upset. But that's the fun part of the whole tournament, is it's going to be really hard to predict. Mm-hmm. But when I read through this blurb, I just saw Chicago in four. That's all I saw.
Well, well played. You know, you mentioned Taylor Hall. He would be playing for a contract. He had an underwhelming first chunk of a tenure with the Arizona Coyotes, where when he was traded there was kind of this feeling around the league of, well, the Coyotes are in the mix, and now they're getting Taylor Hall. They should be, you know, one of the favorites to win the Pacific Division. And it didn't really play out that way for the Coyotes. They were, in fact, an under 500 team with Taylor Hall in the lineup. So, you know, he's going to be determined, but you can say the same thing on Nashville's end for Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith, two expiring contract players headed for free agency whenever this season does come to an end. So it makes it truly fascinating. You know, the executive that picked the Predators in the Athletic's story said, quote, "The Predators needed a reset. I'll lean on their experience and playoff maturity versus a younger Coyotes team," end quote. And I think you could make a case on either side of that discussion of experience versus youth, because maybe the younger legs needing to start quick in a best of five mm-hmm. series, maybe the younger legs have a little bit of an advantage. Coyotes are one of the youngest teams in the league. The Predators are one of the oldest teams in the league. But on the flip side, the Predators have been there and done that. This group has really accomplished everything but winning a Stanley Cup, and the Coyotes, they haven't experienced much success at all in the regular season, let alone the postseason. So fascinating format from the stance of all these different best of five series that would kick off the return to play.
So I'm gonna ask you this. Let me set this up. You know, with the predictions in the Western Conference, we'll just focus on the West because that's where the Predators play. So they have the 8 seed Calgary taking on the 9 seed Winnipeg, and everybody was unanimous picked Winnipeg. Hmm. I don't really consider that an upset because 8-9, I mean, that's pretty even. So
I don't know if I would pick Winnipeg.
You wouldn't. You would go Calgary.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
I have a point with this, because
okay. Continue.
Based on not counting Winnipeg, even though that's a 9 over an 8, Arizona is the biggest upset in the West by far. They have Edmonton beating Chicago. Everybody picked Edmonton. Everybody picked Vancouver to beat Minnesota. And then you had the executive pick the Preds, and then everybody else picked the Coyotes. I think they got the upset wrong in this.
Ooh, okay. Do tell.
And I want to see what you think about this.
Okay.
I don't trust Edmonton. And I think Chicago, even though they have no business being in this thing, and that's been the biggest debate of having, you know, a team like Chicago in this tournament as a 12 seed, I could totally see them upsetting Edmonton in this play-in tournament.
Well, again, I don't think we should be surprised by really anything. I'm not there. I'm not as far there as you are on that matchup between Edmonton and Chicago. I trust Edmonton's coaching more with Dave Tippett. The 1-2 combo that Edmonton has is better than Chicago's 1-2 combo, McDavid and Draisaitl. Better than Taves and Kane.
So you don't try, and I, from a skill standpoint, I don't disagree with you, but the experience of Taves and Kane, I think, could come into play. I mean, they've been down this road a lot, and having a few months off, that's where you could really see it benefit Chicago.
I just don't trust Chicago's coaching. I think Jeremy Colliton is in over his head. And you've got Dave Tippett, who
Preds fans should remember. Dave Tippett.
He has a lot of stripes as an NHL coach.
Mm-hmm.
Never won a cup, but he does have a lot of stripes. So I honestly think Edmonton is a boom or bust team in this format. I think they could go all the way.
Do you?
I do. I think with McDavid and Draisaitl, they were streaky in the regular season, but when they were on those hot streaks, they looked about as good as any team in the league. And maybe we're jaded because we saw them just pummel the Predators in early March and Chase Pecorine after 8 goals. I mean, that was an impressive offensive performance from Leon Draisaitl. And I don't know. That team is pretty well put together. It's not perfect, but I do like that Edmonton team in this format.
What did you think about everybody going Vancouver over Minnesota? You agree with that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think Vancouver is pretty talented, if I'm being honest. Now, I don't know what they would have, you know, I don't know what they would have done under the, you know, regular real format, you know, how far they would have gone. But I remember watching them earlier in the year going like that's a much, much improved team, and they've really built that thing, and I think they could be contenders here soon. Is it now? I don't know. But
what's going to be interesting after the fact, in hindsight, is looking to see what were the biggest factors in the teams that saw success in this format. Was it youth? Was it experience? Was it coaching? Was it just overall sheer talent, like I'm talking about with the Edmonton Oilers? Or was it just a random catch fire as quickly as possible, and those are the teams that find the most success?
We will. Time will.
That's what
time
makes it
tell.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, and time will tell. I just need dates. I'm ready to go. Come on, NHL. MLS has me. NBA has me. NASCAR has me. Let's go. And I've lost faith in baseball. So come on, NHL. Give me some.
Amen.
Give me some dates. That's going to do it for the rundown. Stick around, though. Darren Donick and Chase, that is coming up in just a few minutes on ESPN 102.5 The Game.